Our speaker this morning is a member of our congregation, someone that most of you know very well. So it is with great pleasure that I introduce Rosie Hamilton.
Patrick asked if we could cut out some of those verses. I said, no. You've got to do it all. We talked about not having a service today since it's Christmas, and people probably wouldn't come. And as you noticed, many didn't, which doesn't surprise us. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And we're going to talk about holidays and especially about Christmas. To my amazement, I discovered that we have 211 holidays in the United States, 15 of them in January alone. And the two in January that I knew were New Year's Day and Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I didn't know about all the others. There's Epiphany, Orthodox Christmas Day, Stephen Foster Memorial Day, Orthodox New Year, Lee Jackson Day, Robert E. Lee's birthday, a state holiday, Idaho Human Rights Day, Civil Rights Day, Robert E. Lee's birthday again. Who knew when he was born, I guess. And another state holiday. And we have 10 federal holidays. Now, you probably know those. I've already given you two. Think about it. New Year's Day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, George Washington's birthday. I thought they changed that to President's Day. But according to when I Googled it, it came out George Washington. Again, who knew? Memorial Day, Independence Day, Labor Day, Columbus Day, or now changed to Native American Day, Veterans Day, Thanksgiving, and of course, Christmas. In fact, Christmas, 90% of the Americans celebrate that, which I thought that was kind of interesting, that 90% of us. There have been other proposed national holidays, for example, Susan B. Anthony Day, Cesar Chavez Day, Malcolm X Day, and Flag Day, but none of them made it through to be a federal holiday. And who decides that? Well, that was kind of interesting. Congress makes that decision. The three most celebrated days are Independence Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. How many of you celebrate those days? All of them? How about Thanksgiving? I think that's the one that many celebrate. Why do we celebrate it? Out of habit, or because you really are thankful? For me, it was always special. My aunt and uncle used to come because it was hunting season, so we would use our good plates when they came. One year, my mother made pumpkin pie using a squash and told us, don't tell anyone. My uncle raved about the pumpkin pie. And my sister and I almost rolled on the floor laughing, but we didn't tell. And then I would go out and get a branch and bring it in and decorate it because it was almost Christmas. So I'd like you to turn to someone near you and say something about Thanksgiving that you have celebrated or why you do it. Okay, let's get back together. Is there anyone that wants to share with all of us what they've discovered about Thanksgiving?
Yes, absolutely.
Would anyone like to share with everybody? Okay. Other holidays, are they important to you, or do you just celebrate them, or do you not? For example, Labor Day. You know, I don't know how many of you know, but Oregon was the first state to pass the vote for Labor Day. And this was in 1887. And then in 1889, it became a federal holiday. Excuse me, 1894. So Oregon was way ahead of the game. And this was presented by the labor unions to get it started.
Believe it or not, I don't know what Labor Day represents. Does it mean that the working people of America? Does it mean that people who are working, bringing everybody together as a working force, as representational Americans? I'm not sure that I ever really understood what Labor Day really means.
Well, let me read this to you then. Just happened to have it. It's dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers. It constitutes a yearly national tribute to the contributions workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country.
It's a celebration of the labor movement.
It's a celebration of the labor movement. So how many of you celebrate Labor Day? Okay.
What are celebrations for Labor Day?
Yeah, what do you do to celebrate Labor Day, those of you who raised your hands?
I celebrate a day off.
A day off work.
Do as little work as possible.
Lowy?
Barbecue.
Oh, barbecue, okay. Yeah. But. Okay, good.
Usually I'm working and thinking of others that are working afterwards on that day as well.
Okay. Patrick?
Yeah, as a child, there were stories of members of the family who were Wobblies and other fairly radical labor folk. So there were those stories. And of course, that's all kind of gone by the board now.
Yeah. Alexa?
My aunt, my mini Marshall A. aunt, my grandpa Marshall A. owned a store up in Monroe, Washington, and a hotel. And those girls, when they were in their teens, would sit on top of the piano with the IWW people in the hall and sing those songs for the entire hall.
Oh, great.
That was pretty neat.
It's a good memory.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Betsy.
Okay, I remember for many years when the Fox people would have a wonderful weekend camping trip to Waldo Lake over Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Those were very memorable. When my daughter was growing up, that was a wonderful place to go.
So many of us do celebrate Labor Day. I didn't celebrate it. That's why I was interested in what you did. How about 4th of July? I think everybody celebrates that, right? At our house, we have a barbecue on the deck. Not a barbecue. An elegant dinner on our deck. And people come and we watch the fireworks, which is right across the river. So you can sit in our living room and watch. So that's how I celebrate it. Anyone else celebrate special on 4th of July?
I usually pray for the dogs who are out of their minds and crazy with all the explosions everywhere. So that's the one thing I don't like about 4th of July are the illegal fireworks, the fact that homes catch on fire, and it scares the living daylights out of a lot of animals. So I think you can celebrate it differently. Yes. And also to celebrate bombs exploding in the air doesn't warm my heart. Sorry about the contrary view of that day.
4th of July was our dog's birthday, and we used to say that
his birthday.
He the fireworks never bothered him. Other dogs.
They were all in his
eye. Annie?
I don't think it's still going, but for a number of years, a neighborhood in Tualatin would do their annual 4th of July parade, and it was near a little elementary school, and it basically kind of went around a big loop of homes, and it was all the little kids, and they would decorate their bikes and their wagons and their scooters, they would decorate their dogs, and they would just go out, and the people, mom, dad, you know, just folks like me, we would throw candy at them. celebrations in New Orleans, and just, you know, it was just so sweet. I mean, it was just a diabetic sweet, you know.
Okay, how about Veterans Day? Now, this is a United States public holiday observed annually on November 11th that honors military veterans, that is, persons who have served in the United States Armed Forces. It coincides with other holidays, Armistice Day and Remembrance Day, celebrated in other countries that mark the anniversary of the end of World War I. They ended on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918. How do you celebrate Veterans Day?
We always observe it because Dave is a Vietnam War veteran, and it usually goes for a free meal. And I'm checking my calendar. He also got a cane caddy for his walker so that he can park the walker and walk with the cane.
Very good. A year ago, or was it last year, that we had a special service here at Wolf with veterans speaking?
Yes.
That was very memorable. Yeah. Jim was one of the speakers. Yeah.
For me, all those different occasions, particularly Veterans Day, I think of my late husband. And I'm so thankful that we had 8 years and 8 months and 10 days together. And that he died for this country. No remembrance, no nothing, but I know a lot of other people. And I'm thankful. Thankful, so proud to be a free United States citizen.
Thank you. How about Memorial Day? This is a federal holiday, remembering people who died while serving in their country's armed forces. It's observed every year on the last Monday of May, and it originated as Decoration Day. After the American Civil War in 1868, when the Grand Army of the Republic, an organization of Union veterans, founded it in Decatur, Illinois. The interesting thing was that by the 20th century, competing Union and Confederate holiday traditions merged. So it isn't just Union. It was now for everybody, anyone who died in service. How do people celebrate Decoration Day or Memorial Day? Catherine?
Yeah, we definitely called it Decoration Day when I was mm-hmm. when I was a child. And to this day, we continue to... We do it more as a time to visit cemeteries where we've got loved ones buried, clean graves, take flowers, remember, tell stories, cry, laugh, picnic among the graves. So it's that tends to be the family tradition.
So you really had a big celebration on it, yeah. Barb, you raised your hand? No?
Yeah, I've never thought of it as having...
Here at Wolf, we have a retreat that day. And I don't think they celebrate it in terms of, you know, graves and people who have died in service. I think it's just a big holiday.
Yeah. Betsy? Yeah, there's the retreat. Mm-hmm. And then another thing that I often go to is the Seattle Folklife Festival, which happens that weekend. A lot of things take advantage of three-day weekends, three-day holiday mm-hmm. weekends.
Okay, and before we get to Christmas, there's one more, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And you all are familiar with that. And that started in 2000 as the first time that it was observed in all 50 states. And how many of you celebrate that day? Okay, what do you do, Tom?
I go to rallies of remembrance of the civil rights marches. I see films of them. I never actively participated in the civil rights marches or events, but I want to listen to people who did mm-hmm. and their personal stories about their experiences.
Okay. Jim?
Well, as a Navy chaplain, many of the military people would get together and always follow the Martin Luther King service, especially the especially the African Americans would turn it into a huge event on the ship everywhere. It was really celebrated. I think I've never seen that kind of celebration not being on active duty anymore. It's not the same as it is. It's really something in the military that day.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I can remember down on the mess decks once on a ship deployed out in the middle of the Mediterranean, they got together and a sailor got up and delivered the I Have a Dream sermon almost the same as Martin Luther King. It was unbelievable. Everybody was just blown away by that. So it means a lot. It means an awful lot to the African American community. And here in this sort of white-sized church, it's not. There's just you just can't feel it, I think, maybe unless you're African American as much. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of those who haven't suffered through that kind of discrimination. I don't know how they can understand it. So
thank you.
Well, I think just having it be a day of service has been a nice way to celebrate it.
Mm-hmm. Good thing.
Well, my late husband, Jim Weston, in his active work with the Interreligious Action Network of Washington County, helpful in organizing the Martin Luther King Day celebrations that were held in a big Lutheran church, and for 3 years I went to those, and they had speeches, and they had celebrations with children's poster contests, children's flyers singing protest songs, and it was really a wonderful
contest. Patrick?
Yeah, this is a little promo for the Sunday 14th, yes, mm-hmm. 15th service. Here will be around the topic of what would King do today, and so that we will have a time of celebration and reflection about MLK and the Civil Rights Movement, among other movements. And then stay tuned, because there will be announcements about two or so service activities on MLK's birthday, which is now always on Monday. But the Social Justice Committee is going to ask this congregation to be involved in. So we're planning a lot. That's coming up in 3 weeks.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. Good promotion. Okay, that brings us to Christmas. That's what's happening right now. And thinking about memory, which I'm going to have you all do in just a moment, happy memories for me. As a child, cutting and decorating our Christmas tree on Christmas Eve, we would go out, my father and us kids, and cut a tree. Now, sometimes there was so much snow, we had trouble getting the tree because it was on our property, but it was so much snow. We drove around and tried to get something close to the street, the road. And 1 year we got a hemlock. And that was a real mistake, but it was the only one we could get that was close enough to the road because of the snow banks. Anyway, we used to decorate Christmas Eve then. That was the big thing we did. And my brother would throw tinsel at the tree, those icicles. And my sister put very carefully every single strand on the tree. And she would get so frustrated with my brother. And she would yell, "Mom, make him stop." And 1 year, my sister decided we should have a blue Christmas tree. And that was a mistake. Nobody liked the blue Christmas tree, even with all the tinsel or icicles on it. We usually had snow. And I would put snow on a little fir tree we had right outside our porch. And it was very beautiful. I loved Christmas. And I loved everything about it. I even loved our Christmas pageant. When I was in high school, we always had a Christmas pageant. And the choir would sing Christmas carols. Now, I can't carry a tune, so I became Mary. I had to kneel like this while everybody else sang. I even liked that. As a parent, Christmas was always fun for the kids. And one night, we stayed up very late putting together a major Matt Mason space station. Do any of you ever remember those? It was very impressive. The next morning, the boys were ecstatic, so it was worth it. I'm sure many of you have stayed up putting together things also. But how do we celebrate? Let's start with Christmas past. I'd like you again to turn to neighbors, turn to different neighbors this time if you'd like, move around, and share something about remembrance of Christmas past. You'll have a few minutes. Are we about done sharing? Get back together? Okay. Thank you. Okay, does anyone have a specific memory they really want to share with everybody? Jim.
Christmas past for me, there were only two seasons where I was born and raised, and that was wet and dry. And I was 3 years old before I saw my first snow here in the States. But Christmas was still full of lights and good cheer and presents and all that stuff under the tree. But all our trees had to be shipped in. And this is the, I now live in the Christmas tree capital of the world, and probably the trees that we erected and we bought in the stores were from the Northwest.
Yeah, where were you born?
This was in the canal zone.
Oh, okay, I was trying to think. Okay, one more, Tom.
When I was about 5 years old, my sister, my two brothers, and I would play pretend Christmas about a week before Christmas. And the three of us, my younger brother, my sister, and I would go hide in a room and wait for my older brother, Frank, who played Santa Claus. And he had an old sack, and he would jump from the bed onto the floor pretending to go down the chimney with a sack. And he put three old battered toys under the Christmas tree, and then we'd come out and pretend they were brand new toys. So I don't remember what I got or my younger brother got, but my sister got an old doll, and she would look at it and go, "Oh, a doll, just what I wanted for Christmas." It's an old battered, crappy looking doll.
That's a great memory. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, now we're at Christmas present. And I'd like you to mix around again. There's like a group of three out there that nobody's moved to yet. So if we move around and share what's happening now. What's happening with your Christmas at this point in your life? Okay, take a few minutes, please. Find new partners. Okay, let's stop here for just a moment. Let's pause. And let's now do Christmas future. What are you going to do different? What's going to happen now? You can stay with your same partner or change, either way. Okay. Is there anyone that would like to share what you're going to do differently in the future? Oh. Okay, Annie?
I'm not so sure it's what I will do differently in the future. It'll probably be the same, but I kind of have to say this because Jennifer Frickman is not here to say it, and she always, every year, reminds us that holidays are tough on some people, so we always have to keep that in mind. And so moving forward, I will try and remember that, you know, what you see on television, what we see in print advertising, you know, we're bombarded with the way it's supposed to look, you know, with the happy little kids and the, you know, Dr. Denton Jannies and the big tree and loaded with presents and the big family gathering and whatnot. That's not the reality for many people. So if we don't subscribe to that, we end up being kinder to everyone, just to let them be and have their Christmas the way it looks to them.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Well, I was shocked when he said it wasn't going to be different next year because the point of Christmas is to do everything the same.
Okay.
Not getting pneumonia would be at the top of my
list. But the thing we're doing different this year, the last 2 years, is we've just changed names instead of giving everybody presents. So there's just a madhouse. We each get one gift. And that has made a difference. And we're going to continue doing that. Because it's still Christmas, but it's not quite just like it was.
One of the most beautiful things in the world to me is my home church here and my extended family. Because they're always here, they're always smiling, they appreciate, we appreciate each other. Mm-hmm. But it's Christmas today, okay? No. What would I stay home and maybe watch Tell them a little bit, or fry me bread or something. Okay, guys, tell me your family. Thank you. Thank you for leading the service so well.
Well, I have asked George Taylor to do a reading, a story, to end this service.
Pearl Buck, I think most of us here know, was an American writer and teacher. She was born in 1892, and in 1938 she won the Nobel Prize for Literature without ever writing any music and refusing to go to Stockholm, I think, unlike some. She wrote this story in about 1955. I think that's when it was published first, and it's become a bit of a Christmas classic. He woke suddenly and completely. It was 4 o'clock, the hour at which his father had always called him to get up and help with the milking. Strange how the habits of his youth clung to him still. 50 years ago, and his father had been dead for 30 years, and yet he waked at 4 o'clock in the morning. He had trained himself to turn over and go to sleep, but this morning it was Christmas. He did not try to sleep. Why did he feel so awake tonight? He slipped back in time, as he did so easily nowadays, back to when he was 15 years old and still on his father's farm. Back then, on the night before Christmas, that year when he was 15, he lay for a few minutes thinking about the next day. They were poor, and most of the excitement was in the turkey they had raised themselves and mince pies his mother made. His sisters sewed presents, and his mother and father always bought him something he needed, not only a warm jacket, maybe, but something more, such as a book. And he saved and bought them each something, too. He wished that Christmas, when he was 15, he had a better present for his father. As usual, he had gone to the 10-cent store and bought a tie. It had seemed nice enough, until he lay thinking the night before Christmas. He looked out of his attic window. The stars were bright. Why should he not give his father a special gift out there in the barn? At 2:45, he got up and put on his clothes. He crept downstairs, careful of the creaky boards, and let himself out. The cows looked at him, sleepy and surprised. It was early for them, too. He had never milked all alone before, but it seemed almost easy. He kept thinking about his father's surprise. His father would come in and get him, saying that he would get things started while Rob was getting dressed. He'd go to the barn, open the door, and then he'd go get the two big empty milk cans. But this morning they wouldn't be waiting or empty. They'd be standing in the milk house, filled. The task went more easily than he had ever known it to go before. Milking, for once, was not a chore. It was something else, a gift to his father who loved him. He finished. The two milk cans were full, and he covered them and closed the milk house door carefully, making sure of the latch. Back in his room, he had only a minute to pull off his clothes in the darkness and jump into bed, for he heard his father up. He put the covers over his head to silence his quick breathing. The door opened. "Rob," his father called, "we have to get up some, even if it is Christmas." "All right," he said sleepily. The door closed, and he lay still, laughing to himself. In just a few minutes, his father would know. His dancing heart was ready to jump from his body. "Rob." "Yes, Dad?" His father was laughing, a queer, sobbing sort of a laugh. "Thought you'd fool me, did you?" His father was standing by his bed, feeling for him, pulling away the cover. "It's for Christmas, Dad." He found his father and clutched him in a great hug. He felt his father's arms go around him. It was dark, and they could not see each other's faces. "Son, thank you. Nobody ever did a nicer thing. The best Christmas gift I ever had, and I'll remember it, son, every year on Christmas morning, so long as I live." They had both remembered it. And now that his father was dead, he remembered it alone. That blessed Christmas dawn, when alone with the cows in the barn, he had made his first gift of true love. This Christmas, he wanted to write a card to his wife and tell her how much he loved her. It had been a long time since he had really told her. Ah, that was the true joy of his life, the ability to love. Love was still alive in him. It still was. It occurred to him suddenly that it was alive because long ago it had been born in him when he knew his father loved him. That was it. Love alone could awaken love, and he would give the gift again and again. This morning, this blessed Christmas morning, he would give it to his beloved wife. He could write it down in a letter for her to read and keep forever. He went to his desk and began his love letter to his wife. My dearest love, such a happy, happy Christmas.